And in this series, we have already systematically dealt with three areas of evolution that are pertinent to the discussion. In the first lesson, we covered the dangers of evolution. According to Romans chapter 1, when a society suppresses the truth of the evidence of creation or intelligent design, bad situations are bound to follow. Suppression of truth leads to elitism. It causes biological confusion because you even ignore the laws of biology itself. Why not? You're suppressing the truth. Biology is a truth. Also, you will have the culture succumbing to depravity as Romans 1 ends with a list of moral collapse that occurs in society when you ignore intelligent design. Because if you come from nothing and you go to nothing, you'll act like nothing. There's nothing to hold you in check. Then the second thing we covered was the theory of evolution. It must be remembered and always emphasized that the theory of evolution is a theory. It's basically a collection of observations by those philosophers who like to sit and think. There's been nothing proven. That's why they call it a theory. And too many times we automatically ascribe, oh, it's a theory. That's scientific. No. A theory is basically their observations. This is what I've seen, and now I'm going to try to piece everything together. And that is dangerous to not keep that in mind, as you'll see this morning. And then the third lesson we covered was the evolution of evolution. The evolutionary theory is going through the process of evolution. Once again, it's constantly changing. As we covered the history of it, always studying but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It evolves. It's led into Marxism, communism, Nazism, Freudism, all these different isms, Maoism. You know, hundreds of millions of people died under the basis of evolution. Once again, if you come from nothing and you go to nothing, you can treat people with the theory of survival of the fittest. The same way that these famous dictators or infamous dictators behaved in the last century, they were extreme evolutionists. Well, in this lesson, we're going to expose the deception of evolution. There are countless examples of it throughout history of this theory. Deceptions are classified into four groups. I'm going to cover each of these groups this morning. And so that way we can have an honest assessment of these deceptions. The first group I want to cover this morning is the honestly mistaken. The honestly mistaken. This is great news because this is the largest group of the four deceptions. It's the largest group of people who perpetrate the deceptions of evolution. They're the people who simply have not done their research. When they talk about intelligent design, they just take what little they've been given and run with that. They don't know any better. They're false communications on the subject of evolution. They are wrong, but they're not intentionally trying to do it. And I'll explain that in more detail. This category, though, is typically they take a few things that they learned in the classes, in their schooling, and accept it as truth and don't question it, and then they just push it down the road to whoever they come into contact with. They were trusting an instructor without questioning it. Take the picture up here, for example. We've all seen something like this. If you grew up in the 70s or 80s, this was blanketed all over the textbooks. They're not so much in the textbooks of today. They have fancier charts. But this is the one I grew up with. And It looks legitimate because it's in the official textbook. Well, it must be official. My teacher taught it. It's in the book. It's in print. This is a heavy book. It has to be real. And so as we left high school and elementary school, well, evolution must be a fact. Nobody questioned it because these smart scientists, well, they put it in the book. It has to be true. And if you look at that chart, well, look at, there's a chimp back here. And there's a human. And these are all the missing links. I saw a drawing of it. It's real. That's being honestly mistaken. God says in Hosea 4:6, my people perished due to lack of knowledge. Well, the same thing applies to evolutionists as well. Because when they take something and introduce it as science in light of the science of intelligent design and just ignore that evidence, they will perish. And it isn't that they're on the same level of deception as the later ones we're going to discuss. It's very simple, though, that they are honestly mistaken. And many of us have been at that stage where we've said some things that weren't true, probably prior to when we were a Christian, and even when we were a Christian, and bought into it and just tried to incorporate it into our doctrine, the book of life, tried to explain the Bible using evolution. We got to be real careful about that because we can be honest but mistaken. We can be sincere but sincerely wrong. There was no bad intention, but that's the first group. Now hold that thought in mind because it's going to apply at the end. The second group I want to talk about is the blind ambitious. They're those who, like the honestly mistaken in their intentions, except they're zealous to a level where they start pursuing it. They're dogmatic in their understanding. They try to make an explanation seem more plausible in their attack against intelligent design. Romans 1:22 and 23, professing to become wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and of creeping things, the King James says, or crawling creatures, NAS. Let me take, for example, Australopithecus. You'll know her as more the common name Lucy. You remember the discovery of Lucy back in the 70s? In 1974, they dug up some bones in Ethiopia, an anthropologist named Donald Johansson. The find was touted as the earliest form, human form on record, and hailed as the missing piece of the puzzle. That's what they found, these bones. That's all the bones assembled. Not a full skeleton, just like a couple of head bones there. And of course, the head bones connect to the neck bone. There were two neck bones there. Neck bones connected to the shoulder bone. There you see it. Shoulder bones, the arm bone. And they didn't have a hand bone. They didn't find that. But they did find a back bone and a hip bone. They found some bones. And from that, this man, this anthropologist, Donald Johansson, who's considered one of the foremost authority on bones that you dig up. And he was so zealous that he took the liberty to come to the conclusion that, show the next picture, yes, he figured out who it was. Looks like a babysitter I had at one time, but that's how he, Lucy in the sky with diamonds. No, not that one. It's, this is Lucy. This is the earliest form of human beings. That's what he came up with the conclusion. A little 3 foot tall, hairy woman who was smiling. Wow. Wow, Mr. Johansson. I know you have good intentions, but you're of the blind ambitious. In fact, according to Richard Leakey, who among with Johansson is probably the best known fossil anthropologist of the world, he said this, that Lucy's skull was so incomplete that most of its quote, imagination made of plaster of Paris. Most of what they designed for Lucy was made in a laboratory with plaster of Paris. And he went on to say, in 1983, that no firm conclusion could be drawn about what species Lucy belonged to. Johansson simply was taking liberties where he had none that existed because he wanted Lucy to be the missing link. And that's how this Lucy was put forth in the media. And so there's the blind ambitious. You know, he found some bones and he said, I'm going to make this into something that I want it to be. And that's how it was put forth. But do you know why they call it the missing link? Think about it. Is it because it's the found link? No, because it's missing. That's the theme. The missing link. Let's go on to the willingly ignorant. That's stage three. In the King James Version of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, there's a saying for a particular type of dishonesty called being willingly ignorant. More easily understood would be the English Standard Version, for they deliberately overlook the fact, this fact. And this is a certain type of deception that emanates from the mouth of those who decry intellectual dishonesty. It's a level three violation of deception. The first two, we're going to explain all four, but you can't treat all of them the same. That's why you have to identify, you have to classify in your head as you study evolution the different levels of deception that is involved. The theory of evolution has been helped along with the efforts of the willingly ignorant for as long as it's been in place. They have a tendency to overlook the real facts. Take, for example, Nebraska man. In 1917, a single molar tooth was found on a farm by a rancher and geologist named Harold Cook. And later in 1922, eugenicist and paleontologist Henry Osborne commissioned an artist named Amedee Forrester to illustrate it. From a single tooth found in the ground, okay, he was able to come up with Java man. Java, the ape man, right there, from a tooth. I saw it in a picture. It must be true, because that tooth led to this guy hitting something with a rock. Wow. And see, this artist submitted this to the Illustrated London News. Now it's official. Java ape man has been found as proof of evolution. Now, Osborne, the guy who commissioned him, wasn't impressed with it, and he said, quote, a figment of the imagination of no scientific value and undoubtedly inaccurate. That's the guy who was pro-evolution, said, this artist, he went too far. But the truth didn't matter anymore because the evolutionists had had a drawing now, and they had a theory. Wow, we have proof. There's a picture. And it all started with this major archaeological find, a tooth. Oh, well, okay, let's keep talking about it. Well, one of the men that helped publish this remarkable find was named Grafton Smith. Oh, he became Sir Grafton Smith. You want to know why? Because he was later knighted by the Queen of England for his great contribution of publishing the answer to the missing link. Wow, you're incredible. I hereby knight you, Mr. Grafton Smith. Well, the news spread around the world now. Man, this man was knighted. It's been published. They got a picture. Wow, this is incredible. We found it. Meanwhile, back in the United States, the God-hating American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, they were searching for an opportunity to overturn the Butler Act. And this is in Tennessee. Well, this act forbade educators from teaching evolution in public schools. The ACLU found a 24-year-old young man, teacher, named John Scopes to volunteer to violate the law. And not long after, in July of 1925, the trial began. You've all probably read about it. Let me give you some details of it. It was the first broadcast event in radio history, and it was a major circus. It was nicknamed the Tennessee Monkey Trial and was broadcast throughout the country. And even though Scopes was found guilty and fined $100, the ACLU succeeded in their ultimate victory. And here's what it was. To put into the equation humiliation for anyone who would put forth creation. Intelligent design. The key evidence that the ACLU used in arguing evolution, can you guess what was taught? Nebraska, man. Wow, look at the evidence. Sir Grafton Smith, the publication. We have all the evidence right there. How can you believe in creation? Come on, look at the picture. Look at it. Well, you know what's really neat about that? Shortly after the Scopes trial in 1925, archaeologists returned to that original site where they found the tooth. And guess what they found? They were trying to get more evidence of Nebraska Man. Well, they dug up the rest of the bones, and you know what they found? That the tooth belonged to an extinct pig. Yeah, an extinct pig. Wow. Nebraska Man. Oh, by the way, you know how they got the picture of this pig? They found out later he wasn't extinct. Wow! This is incredible! Nebraska Man! I thought for sure you were the missing link. That's incredible. Oh, by the way, they did publish 2 years after that. They conveniently published a retraction 2 years later in the journal called Science. The world didn't get the memo, though. Because it was... nobody read Science. Why didn't they go back to the original magazine where they published it? Because that'd make us look stupid, wouldn't it? So they did. So Nebraska Man, you know what? You're the result of those who are willingly ignorant. They ignored the evidence over and over again. Wait, don't you think we should dig up the rest of the bones? We don't need to. We got the picture. I'm willingly ignorant. Yes, I've pulled together my ignorance with other people. That's how this thing was carried out. But then there's a fourth level of deception of evolution. That's just outright liars. Outright liars. Jesus said to a group of religious Jews in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He is a liar and the father of lies." Jesus, the source of all truth, was standing before these Jews. And they were trying to suppress all truth. They would bring false accusers, say things they knew weren't true about Jesus because they didn't want to deal with the truth. The ends justified the means. There can be outright liars in every group. And sometimes it's because they're insecure with what the facts say. Sometimes it's out of pride. It can be a number of reasons, but there are outright liars, and these outright liars also exist with the evolutionist. Let me talk about Piltdown Man. Yeah, another great guy. Piltdown Man, you see, there was a meeting that took place on December 18th, 1912 at the Geological Society of London. Wow, that sounds really smart. I think that everything they must say must be fact because it has geological and society and London. Three big words. This is very important to understand. It's all part of the deception. These men who were ardent evolutionary theorists were hungry for a major archaeological find, and they weren't going to leave till they had one. Well, guess what? There's a guy named Charles Dawson. He wasn't going to let them leave empty-handed. See, he turned over a fragment of a skull 4 years earlier. He was given a chunk of skull that some... and the Piltdown gravel pit workers, they found when they were digging around, said, "Oh, we found this piece of skull." And he claimed they found it on the site where there are other bones. And Arthur Smith Woodward, a friend and keeper of the Geological Department at the British Museum, accompanied Dawson back to the site. They dug around, and voila, they found more bone fragments and a piece of jawbone. Okay? Now, when they assembled the partial pieces together and made a model of the skull, that's what they had here. Everything in white is made up. They got a little piece back there in that side of the jaw. That's all they had. A couple teeth. Right? See those two teeth there? That's all they had. I have more left over after buffalo wing night. Okay? And that's what they had. These geniuses got together, dug up some bones. They said, we found the missing link. His name is Piltdown Man. And when they assembled this together, that's what they promoted as. They said, this is the missing link. And then in 1916, a dentist, a real doctor, looked at the teeth and he said, you know, wow, this looks like these teeth were sanded down. It looks like a chimp head that they sanded the teeth down to look like it's human. Oh, but no, you will not say that because we sat around a desk and we can tell you what to do. We're the smart people. We had a picture published with us around this table. You be quiet, dentist. And they managed to suppress that evidence for so long that when the discovery came forth, in 1953, it was revealed that it was an elaborate hoax. The whole thing was an elaborate hoax. It took nearly four decades before they let the suppression of this truth be known. And it wasn't published till 1953. Oh, by the way, you know what another key piece of evidence was for that monkey trial? Piltdown Man. There are two top pieces of evidence that they ridiculed creationists with. Lies. Of the willingly ignorant and the outright liars. They didn't teach you that in school, did they, kiddies? No, they didn't teach us that, Mr. Hamilton. Notice they call me Mr. Hamilton. That's out of respect. They didn't teach that to you, did they, kiddies? Doug, you're calling me a kiddie. That's not a sign of respect. Young people. No, they're not going to teach you that. Why? It's part of the outright lie. Now, some of the teachers who might push us down the road, they're just honestly don't know. But if you're a teacher, I've just given you facts. Now you have the decision to make. These are just a few of the deceptions of evolution in just one category of science, the missing links. You know, I didn't even touch on the deceiving evolutionary doctrines of Heidelberg man, Peking man, Neanderthal man, New Guinea man, and Cro-Magnon man. I left those out because, you see, we'd be here till about 1. But all these missing links they keep throwing out there, it's incredible. Look, this is proof, but it's not proof. That's why you keep calling them missing links. And by the way, if we evolved from monkeys, then shouldn't there be at least a few million part monkey, part human things walking around since they're more advanced than chimpanzees? But they can't even find the bones of one. I'm just in shock that we don't call it for what it is. Deception. And evolution is filled with it. There are the honestly mistaken, the blind ambitious, the willingly ignorant, and the outright liars propelling evolution. All deceptions are the same, but all deceptions lead away from the truth. And this is why it's so important to expose the truth concerning evolution. Now, what do you do with this information you have this morning? Well, three things I want you to do with it. Number one, always evaluate. Always evaluate. Too often times we try to lump everyone into the same category. We must see that there are where they're at in their evolution before we can reach out to them with the truth. We might have a friend or somebody say, well, you know, we're all evolved from apes. And just, you know, you can't treat them like the people who brought forth Piltdown Man. They're just may probably the odds are they're just innocently saying that based on what they saw on TV. Then you just need to treat them in a particular way. Ask questions. You don't have to have an interrogation. You don't have to be quite as firm with them as you would maybe with the willingly ignorant, but you evaluate. If somebody comes out and says, "Well, you know, we all evolved from apes." Really? Yes, I did my dissertation on apology. Oh, well, then you're a different level. So you got to size them up. Number two, always question. They must be asked the tough questions in response to the worldly message they're selling. They're trying to evangelize you to the great news, you evolved from apes. Wow, that's great. You're part ape. That doesn't sound great. I saw apes in the zoo. We did half of what they did, we'd be locked up. Always ask the questions. Just ask questions. Really? You think we came from apes? How did this part take place? You know, do we have on record any actual transformations that took place? Like, you know, why don't we have any of these missing links? Why do they call it missing link? Ask questions. You have the right to. If you went to the store and they were trying to sell you a tool set or something, you would ask questions. Well, now, how does this benefit me? How does this work? How does this work? How much does it cost? What's the financing options? You ask questions. But we don't ask questions for evolution? Oh, I got questions. And you need to have questions, too. Because the one who asks the questions is one who's really in control of the situation. That's how it works. Because for every question, there must be an answer given. And if there are no answers, then the futility of that logic will collapse. The third thing, always be firm. There's nothing to be ashamed of concerning our beliefs, as we will see in the lessons to come. We can be people of science and still firmly hang on to our faith. We must understand that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. You know, Paul said that right before he went into his little dissertation, which I think attacks evolution in Romans chapter 1. We must understand that we have to be firm with where we stand. When we say we are the result of intelligent design, you have the entire weight of the scientific community behind you, but they don't all know it yet. But you will before this series is over. And there's going to be 10,000 sermons we won't cover, but that you can go find yourself. So always evaluate, find out who they are, always question based on who they are, and always be firm based on who you are and who God is. And so the deception of evolution, there are many of them. We covered a few of them this morning. But I want to cover another deception in closing. A deception that you'll get to heaven just because you showed up here this morning. That's not real. You must be a Christian. Unless if one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can't do it. They must be born again. If you have not been born again, you must be born again. Nicodemus, John 3, said, "How can a man be born unless he goes back into his mother's womb and be born?" That's when Jesus responded. It must be that of a watery nature and of a spiritual nature. It must be born of water and spirit. It must be born on the inside and the outside. All that takes place in the baptism. When you go down into that water and you come up a new creation. As we've covered, you must understand that God is the creator. You can't be saved without that. But you can't be saved by only that. He created you here to be created there, to be born again. If you have yet to go through the transformation, if you have yet to go through God's evolution, where you transform from a dead soul to a living soul, the purpose and meaning of your life, you need to submit to Him this morning. We offer an invitation song for you to do that. Don't put it off. If that's your ambition, to be transformed through the renewing of your mind, be you transformed through the renewing of your soul while we stand and sing.